And we'll be sharing from Philippians chapter 3 and from Hebrews chapter 12. I'd love to say everything all in between, but that not this service anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. What we're going to be talking about this morning, as I was praying and just getting, you know, what did God want to speak and what did God want to say into our lives this morning, you know, I believe that God has something very specific that he wants to minister to us. I believe that this word we're here to receive this morning is something that will help us in our lives to be able to walk more fully and to walk more closely in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that I think more than anything is that Jesus desires to have an intimate, close relationship with us. Matter of fact, I know that he desires to have an intimate, close relationship with everyone. Because of what Jesus said in the Bible, that for God so loved the what? The world. Yeah. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to this world so that this world could know and understand that by Jesus' blood, a new covenant was brought into existence that we could become now a part of the family of God. And that God desires for us to enjoy this relationship with him, to have this relationship with him. But we understand, you know, that this relationship only can happen when we surrender our lives to him. You know, Jesus said himself, you know, it says, if you've known me, you've known the Father. Well, some of his disciples asked, and he said, well, Lord, show us the Father. And then that's when he said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you know where I'm going, and you can follow. And I believe Thomas said, well, Lord, what is the way? How is the way? I don't know the way. And Jesus said to them, what did he say? I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And so it brought and established that we needed to be born again, that we needed to surrender ourselves to the very Lordship of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, it shared that we needed to make that confession with our mouths, that the confession empowers that work of Christ upon our lives to make us this new creation that we've become. That I can declare that I am a child of God because I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And you know, this coming up week with Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, when we go out and to share and to witness, you know, the greatest thing that we're there to share with them is their, you know, how is their relationship with Jesus? Do they have one or do they not? Because my testimony that I can share is that my relationship with Jesus has changed my life. How many can say amen to that? You know, that my relationship with Jesus Christ, that Jesus becoming my Lord and Savior, has changed my life. Now this morning we're going to share out of Philippians chapter 3. And this is scripture that we have heard before. It's scripture that I probably have shared a lot before because it's part of my core values how I desire to live my life. And as I was praying this morning, the topic of today's sermon is the stuff that matters. The stuff that matters. And so many times, I think, and so much energy is giving to things in our life that what? That just don't matter. You know, I could even say that for myself. You know, how many times have we focused so much energy, focused so much time, focused so much of ourselves upon things that truly just don't matter? Do we know what I'm talking about? And we've got to realize that God has a plan, God has a purpose, and that I have something that God desires for me to do, and that I need to focus my attention and to focus my strength and to focus who and what I am to see that accomplished in my life. And again, these things that we're going to share isn't that we don't know them, isn't that we haven't heard them. The problem is that we're not what? Doing them. or we're allowing, you know, these thieves to come in to steal away what God desires to plant or what God desires to build so that it would be a very strong and a very awesome building for His glory. Can you say amen? So if you go to Philippians chapter 3 in your Bibles or your iPads, iPhones, Android phones, the real, you know, the hard copy. And go to we'll start with verse 7. All of that actually is good. In the first part, Paul is, sharing that if anybody had to boast, it was him. You know, if anybody could declare that they were of something or somebody because of what they did, Paul said, I have that right. And he was making that declaration or sharing that in the first few verses there. But you know what he says, though, here in verse 7, that I once thought, I'm going to read out of the New Living. I like the way that this says that. I was reading that this morning, and I just really enjoyed how this said it. It says, I once thought all these things were so important. You know, how many can, I've been able to say that. You know, how many times I think some things are just so important. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count my own goodness or my own ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends only on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience that mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. I'm looking forward to that day when I can be all that I can be. I was thinking of that. That Christ has made me to do, it made me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, for I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. And I like that word, focusing all my energies. And it goes with what I was thinking about, what God put in my heart to speak this morning. Here's Paul saying that I count all these things as, and everything that I've done in the past, everything that I thought was important, I am counting all those things as garbage, so that I can focus on one thing. You know, all his education, all of his career training, all his things that he thought were meaningful at that time, that he thought would make him somebody or something, he realizes that all that really is worthless. It doesn't compare to what he has now focused and what he has now found has true meaning in his life. The stuff that really matters. And so he says this in verse 13. Let's go back to that. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which Christ, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. You know, he's saying that he's forgetting those things that were in the past. I mean, did Paul have things that he had to forget? Yeah. I mean, here he persecuted the church. He probably even, he was the one that that held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen. But I believe that that point and moment in time when he saw Stephen, he saw something so real, so incredible, that it impacted him forever. I mean, as a matter of fact, as he started to persecute and to bring Christians to jail or to trial or to persecute them for believing in Christ and not believing in the law, Jesus himself, we know, appeared to him on that road when he was traveling to Damascus. And Jesus appeared to him and said, you know what, why are you kicking the gourds, or why are you coming against what I'm trying to do and what I'm wanting to accomplish here upon the earth? You know, Paul, he's saying, you're coming against me. You're resisting me. And so Paul realized that, you know what, and there's things in our life that sure may not have been what we expected. It may not have been good. It may have been some type of distraction. But there's a place where we need to forget those things. They're hindrances. Everybody say hindrances. Yeah. We need to forget that stuff. Now Psalms 103 says that we, Kay read this morning, that is, we need to remember all of the things that God has done for us and forget not all his benefits. Remember. So that's not what we're supposed to forget, is what God's done. But we're supposed to forget those things that we think have meant so much in our lives, that we have put so much value on, and they're really worthless. How many know that we can put value on such worthless things where they don't fulfill what God's purpose, or they don't fulfill that calling, or they don't fulfill even what God desires to do in our lives? Matter of fact, we can allow those things to distract us, where God's wanting us to do this, and we've allowed these distractions to pull us off of the route, off of the trail, off the course, out of the race. I like that again. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. And what was that one thing? Is that he would set himself for the prize, for the goal, what God had set before Paul. And I believe that more than anything in the scriptures that he talked before, his first prize, his first goal, the thing that he was focusing on, was this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, that was his focus with everything that he did, was that he would know Jesus Christ. I mean, here's Paul, someone who Jesus had that, audibly came down and gave him that vision and blinded his eyes. I mean, we see so many things that Jesus worked through Paul, and he got the scriptures, but he's still here in Philippians said, I count everything all but lost, but for this one thing that I'm focusing on, this goal, this prize, is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if I have that, then I have everything. If I have my relationship with Jesus Christ, then I have everything. Then nothing in this world even affects me, even phases me. And I like how he says that. Let's continue reading here in verse 15. It says, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must be sure to obey the truth that we have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are those whose conduct show that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite, and they brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. You know, as a Christian, our life shouldn't be consumed with the things on this earth. Amen? I mean, we're more. We have more. God desires more for our lives. And here we find that there's those who whose conduct, whose actions are not a walk of love. That out of their mouth are shameful cursings and filthy language. We read that in other parts of the Scripture. You know, whose future is eternal darkness. Why? It's because they have turned their backs upon the love of God. You know, and I see Paul's love for them because of how he's describing his reaction, the tears that are in his eyes, where he would so desire for them to come into the knowledge of the truth, but their actions have declared that they're enemies of the cross. Their future is eternal destruction, whose God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. The King James says it, that they set their affections on things here on the earth, or they set their mind on earthly things. You know, we've got to be able to understand that setting our mind on, I mean, sure, there's wisdom in dealing with earthly things, but it's not something that should consume us. It's something that we should be consumed with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the emphasis that Paul is trying to make here, is that we're focusing on such unimportant things where we should be focusing on the stuff that really matters, which is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we today growing closer in knowing Him? Today, are we doing things in our life that are causing our spirit to grow closer to Jesus Christ? You know, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, everything else I count loss. Everything else I'm saying is worthless. I've got to focus on this goal. I've got to run towards this prize, which is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, the problem isn't that we don't know this. You know, part of the problem is that we're running unfocused. I really think that we so many times allow things and distractions to cause us like a, you know, like the, you've seen the dog with the rabbit type of analogy where the rabbit comes and the dog loses focus, rabbit, you know, loses focus this way, and we're then it gets maybe back on track, and then all of a sudden another rabbit comes and it goes this direction. But Paul is saying, you know, we cannot let those things cause a distraction and cause us to lose focus. You know, what happens is that when we focus on earthly things, we lose sight of God's purpose and God's calling in our life. You know, I truly believe that each and every single one of us is here upon this earth for a purpose. And it's more than just going, getting up in the morning, going to our job, coming home at night, and watching TV until we fall asleep. Then we get up, and the same routine goes over again. You know, without knowing God's purpose and not understanding that we're here for something more, that kind of life is only going to lead to disillusionment, emptiness. It's going to lead to depression, and it's going to cause us to be wrecked in our soul. Why? It's because God created us for more than just existence. God's created us for His purpose to achieve His glory through our hands. Can you say amen? You know, in verse 20 in Philippians 3, I like this. It says, but we are citizens of heaven. That's who I am now because of Jesus Christ. I am now a citizen of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. For He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same mighty power that He will use to conquer everything, everywhere. I thank God that through our faith, through our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are now citizens of heaven. And that we have this hope and we have this promise that we are, and we're looking forward to that time of Jesus' return, because at that moment in time, this mortal body will put on immortality, and I will be just like Jesus Christ, who is now given us, who now sits at the right hand of the Father in his glorified body, and that we'll rule and reign with him forever. You know, this time span upon this earth is so minute compared to what we will have and what we're going to do in eternity. You know, I have just set the course of my life through my acceptance of Jesus Christ that will affect my eternity to be a part of the citizenship of heaven. And when we start thinking about that, when we start looking forward to the Lord's return, when we start living our lives by that the work of Christ that's within us, then we can start seeing God's purpose that he has for our lives fulfilled. You know, one of the purposes, I believe, is that we should seek and save that which is lost. There's people out there that do not know that Jesus Christ, and they do not know and have that relationship with him. And all that they have to look forward to is hell. And hell is not a party place. I used to have people say, oh, I'm going to go to hell and a party with all my friends. Well, they have no knowledge of the eternal separation and the agony of what hell is. But I thank God that we have eternal life and can receive this waiting of him, of Jesus, to return as our Lord and as our Savior. And because of that, we're going to, you know, he's talking about these bodies will be changed, our lives will have that place in glory with him. You know, we've heard talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, you know. I mean, these are all exciting and very, very exciting things. But right now, I believe that we have to understand, God, what is the purpose you've set for me to do? What is that which you've called me to fulfill? What do you want me to accomplish in your name? Each one of us has something to do to set our hands to for Jesus Christ. You know, corporately together as a church, I believe that we're not here by accident, but we're here on purpose, that we as a church can be fruitful, can multiply, and have great success and influence in Northwest Arkansas so people can know Jesus Christ and can have an intimate relationship with him. You know, I love the scripture, and I've shared this before in Galatians where it talks about that I am crucified with Christ. You know, and this to me is a scripture that Paul wrote into the Galatian church that I think shares a little bit what he says here to the Philippian, to the church at Philippi, you know, where he says, I count all things as loss. I have this goal, this prize set before me, my relationship with Jesus Christ, that I may know him. And here Paul says that I count all things but loss, but for this one thing, that is to know Jesus Christ. And Galatians, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's what? Not I, but it's what? Christ that lives within me, so that the life I might live might be living for Jesus Christ. A little bit of my paraphrase at the end there. But it's sharing that, you know what? We have to understand what is the stuff that matters. What is it that matters in our life? Are we giving too much time and too much focus to the stuff that doesn't matter? Are we allowing stuff to be a distraction so that our relationship with Jesus Christ, instead of being hot, is a little lukewarm or maybe even a little cold? Let's focus on the stuff that matters. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I like this verse here too. I'm going to read that out of the New King James. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1 and 2. And, you know, the power of verse 1 really is very powerful. When you read chapter 11, chapter 11 is talking about all the heroes of faith. You know, talking about what Abraham did, what actually all the way back to Abel. But, you know, what Abel had did, what Abraham had did, what Joseph and what Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, how they had faith, Moses. And it's talking about all these men of faith and what they did in faith and how they lived their lives in faith. And then it comes to chapter 12 and it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," those heroes of faith, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." How do we do that? Verse 2, by looking, in the King James, by fixing our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, here, again, an analogy of this goal, of this prize, of this thing we need to focus our energy on, focus our you know, this one thing I do, which is to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody say intimate. Relationship with Jesus, that you might know him. I believe that as we do that, that the purpose and the plan that God has for our lives just unfolds before us. All of a sudden, as we know him and the love of God is poured out upon our lives and we love him as he has loved us, then we can do as Colossians 3:2 says. It says we can set our minds on the things above, and the plan, the purpose, just unfolds before us, and our life is fulfilled in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, this is just an encouraging word. I want you to understand that God desires for us to know him, that Jesus desires for us to be so intimate with him. And that's really, I think, a very focus and the goal of what we need to set before us. That it needs to be something that we realize is going to be, the enemy is going to bring things that will try to hinder us and distract us and to try to get our focus off. But we have to say, what is the stuff that matters? What is that which will cause my relationship with Jesus Christ to grow and to be more than it is today? That I may know him, that I may focus all my energy on this relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes it may mean we need to shut the TV off. It may mean that we need to, you know, do something on purpose that allows us to focus our attention upon Jesus. Amen? So praise God. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, I just thank you that you're good and your mercy endures forever. I thank you, Lord, that we can focus on an intimate and an intense relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you for drawing us nearer to you, for drawing us nearer to understanding and to focusing on knowing who you are, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And let's just say this together. Lord Jesus, I just surrender everything to you that I might know you and know you even more, that I might focus on the stuff that matters, which is my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, any announcements for you?